You're listening to Speak Free with Simon O'Connor, right here on RCR, Reality Check Radio.
We've got a bit of a heavy topic coming up, and that's not because of the guest who's coming on to chat with us, but the topic of all things, and you'll probably need a long hot shower and a strong cup of coffee after this, is a Victoria University study or a research project that's on at the moment that is looking to destigmatize, and get this, destigmatize paedophilia. There we go. There's a word you weren't expecting me to say this morning. But I am very pleased to have a friend and actually a colleague. I do moonlight outside of RCR with this team. I'm very pleased to welcome Bob McCoskrie from Family First to the show. Bob, welcome.
Simon, good to be on your highly popular show.
Oh, well, thank you. Well, you've just doubled the listeners. No, I'm only kidding. hey, look, thanks for coming on. I know you were with Paul Brennan last week talking about this, but I thought in the context of this program, Speak Free, and also the time we've got, it would be useful just to delve a bit more deeply into what's a very disturbing, I think, to put my cards on the table, research project. Yes, destigmatizing paedophilia. So I'm sorry that the first topic we bring you on is so heavy, but talk listeners through what is this study? Because you've also signed up for it. You've got access to what they're asking. So, yeah, talk us through it.
So we were alerted to a poster that was around Victoria University. It basically said participants needed content warning. This study will discuss stigma and attitudes towards people with a sexual attraction to children. Says that you can do the survey and educational modules. Anyone 18 plus can participate. And you can even take part and enter a raffle to win a $50 Prezi card. There's 10 of those. So, look, a lot of people were sending it to me. I thought this, you know, I'm always keen that we get our ducks in a row, that we sort of don't shout fire before this, you know, just because there's a little bit of smoke. So I wanted to check the background of it. And the problem was that when we checked behind the scenes as to what the study was about, it confirmed, yes, that there is a fire. The study is entitled Testing the Effects of Educational Modules for Reducing Stigma Towards People with a Sexual Attraction to Children. The immediate thing to note is that they do not use the word pedophile at all. And in fact, the post in Wellington about five days after this was all over social media and I'd done a couple of Substacks, the post finally came to the party and reported it, probably because it was Victoria University and they couldn't avoid it. But they quoted what the Victoria University representatives had said, and they said, we were very open about the fact that it was about pedophilia. Well, the fact of the matter is they weren't. They never used that word at all. And Simon, this is really what this whole thing is about. It's changing the perception of the way we see pedophilia to what is a term called MAP, minor attracted persons. And there's an agenda to basically change our perception, take away the negatives and see it more as, they've got an orientation that they can't help. There's a stigma towards them and how can they get the help needed if we don't like them? That's the kind of basis. And so in a nutshell, what this course is about is, and I have enrolled for it, well, my two dogs have enrolled for it actually, on their own personal Gmail, but they've enrolled for it, so I'm doing it and to see if I can be indoctrinated into thinking that we're being too hard on pedophiles and is the stigma a bad thing? I'll tell you if it's worked at the end of the course.
Yeah, well, before we delve into some of the questions, I think it'd be good for listeners to know a little bit about what's been asked, because I think, you know, you and I have discussed this in person. As I say, we work together. So firstly, really just to stress to listeners, Bob's done actually a really important job to get first and foremost in behind the scenes and make sure this is what it is, because we all know, you know, outrage is an easy commodity these days and some things aren't what they look like, but this certainly is. But maybe could I just ask generally, Bob, this is a classic playbook, I would argue, of progressives, but it's the classic playbook of normalizing by beginning to change language. And so, as you say, they now want to talk about minor attracted people, or even better for them, euphemisms or rather acronyms like MAP, because, of course, paedophilia does come with a stigma. So this is a classic playbook, isn't it? Change the language, change the narrative.
Yeah, it's what we call the separability or manipulability of the verbal label, and that is actually taken from a famous book called After the Ball by Marshall Kirk and Hunter Madsen, which was two marketers back in the late 80s, 1990s, who set about to effectively market the LGBTQ++ movement. And they said one of their key jobs was this, quote, "We can change what people actually think and feel by breaking their current negative association with our cause and replacing it with a positive association." Now, that strategy has been used not just in the LGBT area, but, well, a couple of examples. You'll never hear people say they're pro-abortion. Oh, no, they're pro-choice, or they're for reproductive health. You won't hear euthanasia or assisted suicide. You'll hear death with dignity or end-of-life choice. Prostitution is called sex work. Gambling is now gaming. Chemicalizing and castrating confused kids about their gender, that's called gender affirmation. You see what's going on here? They're changing by the use of certain words. They are changing the negative association to a positive. And that's exactly what they're doing now with pedophilia. Pedophilia obviously has a stigma about it, rightly so. And so they're changing it to minor attracted persons. And, you know, that's really what this course is trying to do. And they admit that. They say in the paperwork of the study that they want to deal with the myths and stereotypes around this attraction. They want to reduce stigma towards people with a sexual attraction to children to mitigate the negative consequences of that stigma. And, you know, it is a definite push to try and see the bit that really galls me, Simon, is that they're changing the victim from being the child to the actual perpetrator. The perpetrator is the victim of simply a sexual orientation. They can't help feeling this way, and the stigma is making it worse. But the stigma is actually a healthy stigma. It's there to protect the victim, and that's where the focus should be.
Oh, it's a garish, trying to use something alliterative here, it's a garish gaslighting. As you say, the victims, the children, are now being pushed to the side, and paedophiles are, or those with attraction to children, if you want to use those terms that they're using, as you say, they're being put in the victim category. I think it's one of the reasons, amongst many, we've got you on is actually, you know, listeners, we need to be aware of the dynamics in play, like the change of language, as Bob has outlined. The second is, and you've just touched on it briefly, Bob, they're trying to situate paedophilia into a sexual attraction or a sexual orientation space. Yeah. Quite disturbing, because, again, it's a playbook. They will continue, as we've seen, this ever-growing number of letters and perspectives and sexualities, that they just want to say this is just another type. I mean, that's shocking in itself.
Yeah, I think if you tried to defend the study, you would say what we're trying to do is we're trying to find people who may be at danger of this behavior, and we're going to give them the help so they never perform it. We could do that for rapists. We could do that for murderers. We could do that for family violence offenders. You know, we obviously want to give the help so that they can not follow through on their, temptations, which we all have. Yeah. The danger is that trying to destigmatize behavior, which we've all agreed as a community is completely wrong, it generally ends up normalizing it. And so when you legalize something, you normalize it. And that's exactly what this study seems to be doing, putting undue emphasis on someone who may have the proclivity but will never act it out. But then it becomes confused with, well, what if they don't act it out, but maybe, and we've seen two examples of that this week, they just carry it out not on people, but they do it online by using child pornography. And, of course, that also is sexual exploitation and abuse of children. So, you know, where does it stop? The stigma is there. What they're trying to argue is that we need to be able to give help to people who maybe have that temptation. And look, none of us would disagree with that. The irony is, Simon, is that in the study and also in the article on the Post in Wellington, the Old Dominion Post, at the bottom, it actually lists agencies where people can go to get help, which, you know, so in effect, they're actually undermining their exact message, because they're saying we want to be able to give help to these groups. And then they list a whole lot of agencies that are available to give them help. So the help is there. What we need to do is persuade the person that they need to get that help, and that there is a community rejection of them ever acting on it, not only physically, but also even online, because even online involves the abuse of children as well, as we well know. I mean, they list WellStop, Safe Network, Stop, which is available in Christchurch, Safe to Talk. There's a number of agencies. So, you know, we need to encourage them to put up their hand and ask for help. Look, there was a great quote from Associate Professor of Criminology at the University of New South Wales, Michael Salter, who's talked about this a lot. He said this: sometimes stigma is good. Some things should be stigmatized. He said the compulsion to abuse children, is not a morally neutral one, and it should be stigmatized, i.e. attract social disapproval, end quote. And that's the key. Even the compulsion needs a level of stigma to say, don't act on it, but here's some help.
Oh, look, absolutely. I mean, you and I have talked about this. We're in a modern world now that says all and any stigma is wrong. You know, one of the underlying, I don't know, philosophies of modern progressive life is, I'm just born this way, I'm perfect, and any stress or problems I have in my life are from outside, from stigmas which are put onto me. And we've applied that to all sorts of situations over the last, I don't know, 10, 20, even 30 years, but now they're applying it to this area and saying, oh, the stigma's bad. And look, having looked at the study, not as in depth, but with you, this research, it's not about how to help them per se. It is about normalizing, which is, again, why we need you on and others to actually really get this into New Zealanders' minds. There is a group of people actively using taxpayer dollars to normalize paedophilia. And maybe as we segue into, maybe give us some examples of what you're seeing in the research, one that stands out for me is one of the questions or commentaries which talks about, effectively, paedophilia has only been wrong because the law says it is. And typical me, I don't have it right in front of me, but they just say that, you know, societies have laws and norms around sexual behaviors. And you go, well, hold on a moment. There's something deeper, more morally wrong with the likes of child abuse and paedophilia. In and of itself, they're innately wrong, not simply because the law says it is. And I mean, that I just find that insidious. But give us, if you don't mind, a couple of examples just to illustrate what these people behind the study, I assume we don't know who they are. Would that be correct?
Yeah, we know the researcher and we know the supervisor. So,
okay, well, that's a good, that's at least, well, that's not to bring them out necessarily here, no. Just curious, but give us an idea of what they're asking.
So you basically go through the study and you get asked questions like, people with a sexual attraction to children have consciously decided to have this orientation. Do you agree or disagree with that? Are they always dangerous for children? Does it always lead to child sexual abuse? I mean, and how do you feel? Do you feel pity towards them, disgust, anger, fear? So you sort of answer these questions and then you get the next email, which then starts to, and they call them modules. I call them indoctrination, because what they're trying to do is they're trying to soften my attitude towards pedophilia. And so they start with this statement, having a sexual attraction to children is not something that is chosen or controlled. I mean, that's a red flag, just saying that it's not something that is controlled. And then it says, people often believe that having a sexual attraction to children means that someone will eventually sexually abuse a child. Well, my comment there is we're not going to take the risk if there's that risk, we have to act to protect.
Yeah. Can I add as well that those are two separate, if you will, categories or dynamics. They're trying to conflate. Well, they keep going to it as the whole attraction versus action. They're saying, well, you know, the attraction's okay. It only becomes bad when you act on it. I would argue that the attraction in itself is disordered. There's a moral problem right from the start to even have that attraction. So I'm getting quite angry at the end of this, Mike. Anyway, so I'm going to mute myself and let you carry on.
Well, that's what the DSM, the psychological Bible, they call it, the DSM-5, says it's still a disorder, and there have been attempts by these groups to get rid of it as a disorder. But then it says, although having this attraction may increase someone's risk of sexually abusing a child, this belief is inaccurate. I mean, that's a massive red flag. And then having a sexual attraction to children doesn't mean anything other than just that. They have a sexual attraction to children. You know,
so they're trying to conflate there that someone enjoys Pepsi or Coke or wants oranges and apples. So the decision, it's very disturbing.
Very disturbing. Now, I have received the next module, and so stand by, there'll be more indoctrination. But one of the interesting things is that they have started to introduce me to three case studies. And they haven't given us much information. They've just told us about these people and their background, and you've got a single guy, you've got a married guy who's just split up, and another one. Ironically, Simon, although you probably won't be surprised at this, the three case studies are all white dudes.
What?
Yeah, cis white males, I'm sure of it. So there's some good intersectionality, critical theory coming through there. It's just white males that are the issue in this. So I'm going to get to know these three case studies, and I suspect that as part of the indoctrination, I'm going to come to like them and actually think that society is being very harsh on them for having this tendency and thinking that abuse of children is part of what they say is a orientation or a it's the use of the words orientation. Yeah. And that they're a victim, basically. And this orientation, I mean, to compare it to an orientation like homosexuality, it's just dangerous. And of course, it's kind of once again playing the victim card on behalf of the pedophile. I mean, are we saying that the for example, the article I'm looking at, the Tauranga man this week who was sentenced to 7 months knowingly
home detention. Only seven months home detention.
Yeah. 374 images and videos depicting the horrific and extreme sexual abuse and exploitation of children, including very young children and babies. Now, they are victims. And look, I know that some of your audience right now, Simon, are going to be horrified that we're even talking about this. Can I just say to them that I hope you're more horrified at the actions of these types of offenders who one day could carry it out on actual physical children, not just online, but physical children were used in those videos to create that material. Be more offended by that than the fact that myself and Simon are talking about this on RCR.
Look, it's a heavy topic, but these are the things which need to be talked about. And listeners will know that, you know, modern progressives talk about harm all the time. In fact, you know, some of the show today has been talking about, you know, free speech and people trying to shut it down because of harm. Well, you can't get a more illustrative example of harm than when it comes to the exploitation and abuse of children. So, Bob, look, I make no apologies that we're discussing this. We've got to shed light on it.
Other point I would just make is that it's ironic that this study came out, and I make this point in my Substack, that a month after the Whanaketia, Through Pain and Trauma from Darkness to Light, the Royal Commission's report on abuse in state care and religious institutions. And so it's a disturbing read as we learn about paedophilia happening in so many institutions in the history of New Zealand. And then Victoria University comes out with a study that wants to rebrand pedophiles as victims of stigma, whose only guilt is having a sexual preference or orientation. It's just...
Massive contradictions. I mean, as you've noted, there's the dynamic of you change the language to try and normalise. The other is, and you'll know better than me, but one of the dynamics listeners should be aware of is a lot of these, they'd call them social justice movements, try to link themselves to previous ones. So, you know, they're talking about sexual orientation, about attraction and so forth. Well, they're trying to link into other successful progressive movements here. It's just so, so disturbing. But, Bob, we'll have to get you back on once you've done Module 3 if you haven't passed out by horror.
I'm going to be completely woke. I'll be a complete lefty with all my intersectionality. In fact, when I next come back on your show, Simon, I might even have some personal pronouns.
Well, I don't think there's any risk of that knowing you, Bob. But, hey, look, thanks for taking us through this. I think it's important for listeners to know. And, look, thanks for the leadership you're demonstrating in this, not only speaking about it, but having to throw yourself into what's a pretty nasty space in order to help us understand. So thanks for coming on the show.
Good to be here, son.
So that was Bob McCoskrie. He's the founder and CEO of Family First.
Are you loving what you're hearing? Well, the establishment hates it. And right now they're conjuring up new ways to try and censor RCR. To ensure you never miss a beat of the hard-hitting news you've come to know and love, make sure you're on the RCR mailing list. Get connected now at realitycheck.radio/email.